Today, we're diving into something that every woman needs, which is nervous system care. Our guest, Tracy Whitten, has spent 22 years working with thousands of bodies, and her clients have called her many things, but I think the most fitting at this point would be the vagus nerve whisperer. And thanks to her uncanny ability to feel, to sense, and to understand exactly what is happening inside somebody else's body. This is an incredible skill set that she has developed, and you won't find it in any textbook. It's deep, it's intuitive wisdom that's built on decades of witnessing what women carry. So here is what Tracy has learned after thousands of sessions. Women, we must learn how to calm our nervous systems, because today's life is a blur of pings and dings and pressure and rushing and responsibility. It's kids, it's aging parents, it's work, it's rising costs, it's health challenges. And on top of all that, there's perimenopause and menopause, as well as past traumas, old wounds, stressful memories, and triggering moments that perhaps we've never fully processed. This all adds up, and for so many women, it becomes the perfect storm inside our nervous systems. You can normalize it by saying, it's just because I'm busy, but it is so much more than that, and Tracy is here because here's the truth. Calm is the key to aging well. Without it, our joy diminishes, our vitality slips, our relationships are strained, and our health pays the ultimate price. So she is here to teach us today how to bring your nervous system back to calm, no matter what life throws at you. Tracy, if you can do that, you may be all we need.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that introduction.
It's so wonderful to have you here. We've had a couple of conversations about the vagus nerve before, and I know it sort of seems like the holy grail, and I don't think it hurts to unpack this a few times over so that we really get the idea of how the vagus nerve works, in fact, the whole vagus system. So without having read your book yet, because I know it has only just been released, 365 Days of Nervous System Care, congratulations. Congratulations for a start. An amazing effort to get a book out there, and I know this will be on top of everybody's Christmas lists. For those who are listening and perhaps they have no idea what the vagus system actually is and how it works, is there an easy way to describe it to us?
Sure. So first, maybe before going into the vagus nerve, maybe I should share the nervous system as a whole, because the vagus nerve is actually the longest nerve in our cranial nerve in our body, and it's responsible for the parasympathetic nervous system branch. But the nervous system is this system that has the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system, and that this nervous system is constantly receiving and processing and responding to signals, both from your environment and from within you, so internally and externally. The nervous system is the body's internal communication network. It controls how we respond to life, to danger, stress, rest, connection. And that connection part is the part of the vagus nerve. It's responsible for the rest and digest, emotional regulation. The way we meet and care for those signals shapes how safe and connected and alive we will feel. So the vagus nerve often it's quiet. It's not loud like the SNS, you know, the sympathetic nervous system. And we often don't hear it or can listen to it. So we often push through because adrenaline seems to be kind of the culture these days.
Mm-hmm. So we know about fight and flight. And are we either in one state or the other all the time? There's no neutral. You're either in fight or flight, or are you a fight or flight type person?
Well, there's fight and flight and fawn and freeze. And that is the sympathetic nervous system. Then you've got your ventral vagal system, and your ventral vagal is when we're online, I say, or when we're connected. And then we have this other part branch of the ventral, vagal system, which is the dorsal collapse. So it's the one that when you're saying fight or flight, we can often, will most people these days will live in this pinging between fight or flight, fawn, freeze, or dorsal collapse. It's rare that they'll come back up and connect into ventral vagal. They're more in a dorsal vagal response, even though,
we're aiming to be in ventral.
Ventral, yeah.
Okay, and that is a calm state, a state where you're feeling in control, where you're not in fear of anything. And again, we sort of explain the life that we live now isn't really about ultimate survival, as in, you know, running from the tiger or escaping the bear, which would put you in fight or flight. It's about the emails or the task that you haven't done or the fact you haven't cooked dinner or you're late to pick up the kids. Like, all of these things put us into fight or flight. Is that right?
Yes, it's all the tabs. I look at it as all the tabs open in your mind. And those tabs, we may not be able to close them all, but we desperately try to. So we desperately try to get to the bottom of the to-do list or have all the tabs and close them down. But it's important that in this day and age, because we're constantly on, we're stimulated all the time, there's so many ways that we can be contactable, that we need to learn how to pause and just turn away from the tabs, you know, and not need to fix them or deal with every single tab. So when you say the ventral vagal, is it calm? It's interesting. I don't use the word calm that much with ventral vagal. It is the first stage. So calm is the soothing part. So when you're feeling nervous, agitated, irritable, anxious, rushing, overwhelmed, we will try to calm that. But to change and shift and to actually be moving from a ventral vagal state, we're seeing more, that would be more of a state of steadiness, connection, aliveness, bright.
So how do people find you? Because, again, the things that you're sort of explaining, yes, they are what we feel every single day. And they're probably not reasons that most of us would go and see our GP. You can't really walk in there and go, oh, I'm just busy, I've got so much going on. When does somebody come to you, and what is often, I guess, their opening statement to you? How do we even begin this conversation from a client practitioner perspective?
Often when people come to see me, they are overwhelmed. They've been recommended by someone. And sometimes it has been a referral from a GP, but sometimes it's just a friend of a friend of a friend that has recommended them to come and see Tracy. She does this work. Because it's a unique practice that I offer. And they will come completely overwhelmed, burnt out, usually either, like I was saying, in that dorsal collapse where they're exhausted, they've got no energy, they're apathetic, depressed, low mood, or they're pinging in a higher overstimulated state, which is more anxiety, irritability, agitation, overwhelm. I think that was answering your question.
I think you've just pretty much encompassed anyone who would be listening would fall into this into this category. So this information is highly needed, as I said in the intro, that we all need to take better care of this system and just learn. I'm sure there's steps to get to a place of not just calm but control, as you said. When they do arrive and they do come into the office, are people seeking an immediate solution, or is this something that you work on for years? Because, again, here we are, we've been sitting in this place for a very long time. I imagine that there's some serious undoing to be done.
Yes, well, that's true. So it's the biggest battle that I have now. Like 10 years ago, people kind of were willing to take the time, where I've found now they are looking for that immediate fix. And I don't know if it's because of what is out in the world, that there's all these solutions to quick fix and hacks and all of those kinds of things. And when it comes to the nervous system, hits doors so much, you know. It's not just the nervous system, but it's the amygdala as well. There's many parts of it. So it stores a lot. And we've got to remember, we got to this place and it took so much time. Doesn't mean it's going to take that amount of time to unwind, yet we have to find safety. So when we're ventral vagal, when we're in that place, we're open for connection. And to be open to connection means we have to feel safe. And so often that's what we're first starting with, is it can be really little steps. But what I share with my clients is, don't try and change all of what you've done in 20 years, 10 years, or all the trauma that you've been through in one session. We're going to have to regularly, consistently chip away at this. And they can feel immediate results on the table usually, but then that will revert back, because that's just calming the system. But to change neuroplasticity, which or a new pathway, we have to keep giving it something different, not the same.
A quick pause for anyone interested in joining our DNA testing program in partnership with FitGenes, a world-leading genetics company. So many of you have already joined our FitGenes community. So now, for anyone who hasn't, it's your turn. Get to know your genes with us. When you know your genes and your unique genetic breaks, you can do something about it. For us here at the Aging Project, we've learned it's the best first step in our aging well journey. If you'd like to learn more, visit theagingproject.com and join the Fit Genes waitlist. We'll send you all the details so you can get started. Is it possible to teach us some skills today to tap into what that might feel like, so we can then at least decide whether we need or need this in our lives? We need to progress further. It's more than just meditation, I'm assuming.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Like I say in my book, I talk about, for many years, the nervous system started to talk. That's where that name, the vagus nerve whisperer, came from, was it was sharing information with me. So I was able to read that energy, and I started to see a pattern through these thousands of bodies that I was working with. And those tones of regulating, so we've talked a little bit today about dysregulation and what most people know what that feels like. We've also talked about regulated, so when someone's regulated, but we haven't really talked about regulating, which is the in-between, when we're wanting to regulate our system. And when that's happening, the nervous system is communicating this beautiful voice to us of tones or qualities like dark and quiet and still and slow and soft and warm. And so they're the qualities that we're wanting to listen to. So often we're moving very fast. There's a noisy environment. You know, we've got lots of stimulus coming in, and we don't stop that. We don't go to stillness. We keep moving. So yes, we can do a simple practice where we can engage some of those qualities just by sitting here.
Your voice is particularly calming, so I'm feeling like I'm in a very calm space now. Dysregulation, I'm sure it looks different for everybody. And you said when you see someone in a regulated state, what does that look like? Mm.
Regulation, I would say, is, I guess from the outside, people would say that's calm, or the word that I feel is steady. I like that word, because when a nervous system is steady and it's resilient and it's strong, robust, it can weather the storms. Mm-hmm. So anger might be moving through, the storm of anger or the storm of anxiety might be moving through. But how we respond to that will depend on the level of strength and steadiness that we have in our nervous system. What capacity do we have to be able to meet that and touch that? So, yeah.
I find that the day-to-day busyness, we probably all get a little bit accustomed to that, and not to be tone deaf, I hope, you sort of deal with what's going on. We mentioned earlier that past trauma or deep stress that resides within the body is needs to be cleared, I suppose, for us to ever find that place of steady. How do you go about sort of undoing years and years of dysregulation?
Mm. Yeah, because we're getting stuck in survival states. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so we need to first step is recognizing, having the awareness that we are stuck in a survival state, that we do feel unsafe, so this is another term that's called interoception. And interoception is your internal radio, so to speak. It can be turned right up or it can be turned right down. And we actually need to get to a regulated state, or to even start regulating, we need to understand our interoception. And that part is just stopping and listening. And it might be just 5 minutes a day where we're doing that practice to connect with that. So connection, like I mentioned before, is ventral vagal. So every time we connect, every time we close over the eyes, just even closing over the eyes, I'm coming inside. And I pause, everything slows down a little. Maybe a breath will happen naturally. And we breathe in and we breathe out. And everything else, through all the senses, through sight, maybe through sound, it all withdraws, like it comes in, the energy comes in instead of going out, everything out. So just that one quality can bring regulation. It's a start.
It certainly is a start. And I am assuming the book, 365 Days of Nervous System Care, is all about starting. And do you give us a little tip, something to do every day?
Mm-hmm.
So by this time next year, we're going to be in a really happy place.
Yeah, I've actually got the book here with me. So it's like I can show you. If I just opened up to day 162.
Why not? Yeah. It was a good day, or it will
and
be.
Look at that. I opened to go. It's saying, I don't know, show you. I don't know if people see this, but that's what it kind of looks like.
Great. Easy to digest. This isn't pages and pages. This is a page a day.
Because remember, we've spoken, our dysregulated system is overstimulated. It can't wants just simple, soft. So creating a slow ritual. Slowing down becomes second nature when you create rituals that prioritize calm and care. Remember, a ritual doesn't have to be elaborate. Its purpose is to anchor slowness in your daily life. So the reflection, what small ritual could you create to help you embrace slowness each day? So that might be just like what I said, closing over the eyes for 2 minutes and breathing.
A quick pause in today's episode to share some of my must-try products at youmusttryit.com. Through the Aging Project, I've learned managing stress is something to be intentional about, which is why over at youmusttryit.com, we've created a stress and sleep page with all of our favorite products. After today's episode, go check out the Shakti Mat. This is an acupressure mat with over 6,000 spikes. Yes, I swear by it, as do so many of our customers. Even previous guest, Dr. Peter Wright from the Vera Wellness Clinic said, "I love this mat, Shelley. Thank you. It is my pleasure, Dr. Peter." To grab yours, just go to youmusttryit.com and type Shakti. That's Shakti. You'll also find essential oils, supplements, and organic teas, all designed to reduce stress and aid sleep. Trust me, all are a must try. Just go to youmusttryit.com for a 10% discount off your first order and to join our community. So this is something that you can just incorporate into every day. And if you had that ritual, you don't have to perform it at the same time every day. It's something if you're sitting in the car and the traffic's bad, not that I'm suggesting you close your eyes, but finding a ritual that you can perform whenever life gets a little bit too much.
I actually think, Shelley, that it's important to do it at different times of the day. Because mm-hmm. the nervous system, like I said from the beginning, is it's constantly receiving and processing information all of the time. And if we do it at the same time, yes, it can kind of create a habit. But if we do it at all different times, then we're building this part of us that's more resilient to being able to respond instead of reacting to what's in it coming from our environment. So if we, in the morning, maybe do some standing on the grass and just feeling the sun on our face, and then next time in the car where we're feeling our hands on the steering wheel, connection, you know, or and at dinner, preparing dinner, being with peeling the carrots, you know, and simple things like that all the time. We're just bringing our awareness back into that present moment again and again, and just not allowing the mind to take us away, acknowledging that we're feeling dysregulated, and then how can I meet that instead of reacting to it?
Oh, I love this. How would we know? Is there signs? Is it shortness of breath? Do you get twitching eyes? Is it something where you can't focus? Or is it really are you really in your brain and you just can't, as you say, close those tabs? Would we have physical signs that we're in a state of dysregulation?
Most definitely. I find there's definitely groups of sensations physically. There's emotions, mm-hmm. neurologically. There's mental, there's actual energetic, like so people will be really sensitive to energies of people walking into a room, a crowded place, sounds as well, our sensory system, smells. So it works on all the five senses, and, you know, that sixth sense as well of like what we feel, our intuition, all of that can actually have symptoms, and not everyone has all of them. So I find some people, a question I'll say to people is when they're telling me that they're stressed, they're overwhelmed, it's too much, I will say, tell me how it shows up for you.
Mm.
Tell me how it shows up in your mind, in your body, in your emotions. What happens? What's unfolding? Tell me about it. So I'll ask those kind of questions so that I can get an idea. So I had a lady this week, it was all neurological, but it was her amygdala screaming impending doom and the threat detector constantly looking for possible threats in its environment. Yet nothing in her mind, nothing in her emotions, but she had all these symptoms of like tingling in her fingers, exhaustion, getting overwhelmed just driving down the highway in the car.
Is this, does it ramp up in perimenopause and menopause? I understand a lot of people will be feeling this throughout their whole lives. It is this period of time, a time to be particularly cautious and aware, because we're already feeling all those things and our hormones are going crazy. So they're triggering a lot more of these feelings as well.
Very much, very much. So I think science has shown a little bit with this, and I have seen in clinic time and time again now this same pattern, is that when cortisol is coming up in the morning, so around 2 a.m., I think it starts to drip in, and we peak around cortisol's around midday, and then melatonin will come in the evening. As our estrogen particularly, progesterone is the anti-anxiety, estrogen's the happy hormone, but it buffers a lot. So when that estrogen is there, it kind of buffers that cortisol response. In perimenopause, when we're losing that, often women present to me with saying, why am I so anxious in the morning? Why am I feeling so elevated or nervous, or my mind just won't stop? And it's somewhere between, usually between that one, most of them are between 2 and 4 a.m. where that's happening, which is that cortisol response.
Joy, just pure, pure hell on wheels at 3 a.m., isn't it? There's a lot going on at 3 a.m.
Exactly. So, yes, it is a time that I will say to women, this is where you need to be able to spend that time to look after yourself, to use these qualities of slow. We do need to slow down because we just don't have We've got higher adrenaline in the body because of the stress hormones and cortisol, but we've got low hormones and they're not working together anymore. So we're a lot more sensitive. We kind of can get more of a like a hypervigilant awareness or interoception. Often that's that. And then it gets to the point where they go into dorsal collapse and become exhausted and tired because they can't cope with the constant stimulation. So the bodies will push them into that because it makes them rest. It makes them stop.
So it's one thing to be aware that all this is going on, and then the next step obviously is to do something about it. If we don't, we're looking at things, I guess, like burnout, gut issues, chronic fatigue, autoimmune flare, that emotional overwhelm. These are symptoms of not having dealt with our nervous system. Would that be fair?
That's definitely fair. And that's like getting back to that other client that I saw this week, that's what had happened. She had constantly had a life of actually having her nervous system always being asked to be in a sympathetic state, always being asked to be showing up and giving, giving, giving. And now at 60, she's actually experiencing these neurological symptoms. And when I shared with her what our plan is for her, she noticed a big shift in that first few days just working with her vagus nerve. But it's something that we will have to continue to do regularly every day to shift that fatigue. I call it nervous system fatigue. Because we kind of get to that stage where we have had that demand for so long and it comes to a point where it's like, I can't do it anymore. And that's where we see that burnout and we see that brain fog and we see a lot of those symptoms that kind of tend to come in around the same time as perimenopause and menopause. It's when the system actually needs care and love and quieter time, you know, because the women will say, I just can't cope with stress like I used to.
And that's more of that change in your hormones as well that are leading you to be less capable than you were even yesterday.
Less resilient, because estrogen is the resilient hormone, you know. It can buffer so many things for so long until, we don't have it.
So we really need a plan, don't we? We all need a plan, our own little self-care vagus nerve nurturing plan. Can you give us some advice? Obviously, if we don't have access to a practitioner like you that can guide us through, one would be opening a new page every day of your beautiful book and having a little message, a little reminder. But for those that are feeling this overwhelm right this very second, can you give us some techniques that you've learned and that have worked, you know, time and time again with your clients about how we can in any situation, whether it be something like having to give a presentation at work that used to seem so easy and is now, you know, one of those things that we just find incredibly overwhelming and daunting. For somebody who public speaks every day, I've found in the last 2 years just how some days it's like, wow, how do I get up and do this today? I can't do what I used to do so easily. So I am in need of these tools as much as everyone out there.
I guess one little piece that's coming to me is you can't restore a system in survival while living like everything is urgent.
Okay.
So often that's what the system, so you can't restore a system in survival mode while living like everything is urgent. So think about that's often how we're living in society now. And I'm not dismissing the fact, because I'm perimenopause too and I feel all those things, but it is that sense of urgency that we feel it all has to be done. And so we're telling the system that we're in survival every day. So what if we change that and we told it that we're not in survival, that we want to actually shift to thriving, you know, instead of surviving? Mm-hmm. So that would look like exhaling longer. So inhaling, just pausing and inhaling and then exhaling. Lengthening that exhalation slightly longer will trigger your parasympathetic nervous system. Sitting in darkness, or like we did before, Closing the eyes, just closing those eyes, I can feel my eyes just relax straight away and my body relax. So that could be when you wake up in the morning, instead of going straight into all those tabs, pull back. Okay, let's just be here. I can feel that that's all happening, but how can I meet you today? How can I make it a little bit lighter for you today?
So there is those moments, obviously, when we wake up and we know, you know, there's a big day coming, and I try to practice this every day before I even open my eyes. I thank the powers that be that I'm even waking up this morning. This is going to be a great day. I'm going to take it every step as it comes. I'm not going to forward think too much. I know I have a to-do list, but I won't be able to achieve the last one if I don't get through the first one. So even before I have opened my eyes and stepped in the grass and seen the morning light and all those things, really acknowledging that there is only so much you can do in a day. And although we live these incredible lives that are action-packed and filled with so much greatness. And I never say I'm busy anymore. I say I'm doing lots of wonderful things, just putting a positive spin on it rather than, oh, I'm so busy. I'm doing lots of wonderful things that I asked for, by the way. Yes. is also just realizing that we're quite primitive beings, aren't we? I mean, even though the world is so busy and technology is moving so fast, but ultimately the humans haven't really changed as quickly as our environment has changed around us. So the things that we're talking about are really taking us back to the more primitive side of being human.
Yes, we've forgotten how to relax. It's so simple. It really is. We've forgotten how to pause, to stop, to slow down. I even think back to my grandmother. She would be baking cookies, all the things that she was doing. She would do one task at a time. She would be sitting there baking the cookies with us. We'd finish. Then she would sit down and have a glass of water. She'd get back up, I'd go put that washing on the line, put a new load on, and then she might go outside and do a bit of weeding. But all of the things that she was doing, even when she did have pauses in between, those other actions were very right brain, so they were very much in that place where we were activating the parasympathetic nervous system, where today we're very much left and very SNS and, like you said, very active. But we've still got a primal brain. We've still got that amygdala. So it is these simple steps of, we have to learn to relax again. We have to learn to slow our pace, even if it's, okay, today I'm just going to interrupt my pace and just have a pause for a minute, take a breath, or every time I take a drink of water, I'm going to intentionally create that moment to be sacred.
Does it work the same way, and bear with me here, if you mark it in your diary or if you set an alarm or if you give yourself, we often hear, you know, again, we're at our computer, we're working away, we have to stand up every so often, we have to go for a walk, we have to get a drink of water. And again, that just seems like another thing that I have to do. If I mark it in my diary for a minute of silence or 2 minutes of in the cupboard, I don't know. Will that work, or is that just putting more pressure on the situation?
I, long as it's not some alarming alarm, you know, like if it was a lovely little sound of birds tweeting as in or something like that, it might be nice. Or the diary, if you're looking at it regularly, so it's like you want to make those interruptions a part of your day. So these parts, it's because you have forgotten how to have natural pauses. So we're actually just wanting to bring them back. So yes, I get what you're saying, is that it's hard because we're used to going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. We don't know how to be human beings anymore. We're just human doings, you know. So we do have to have something to begin with. My teacher, Pema Chodron, that I followed for many years, taught me a practice a long time ago called greeting, or meeting the beginning, the middle and the end of the day. So that's how I started interrupting. And that just meant that I, at the beginning of the day, I met it with compassion, this awareness of what all my senses, what's coming through all my senses. What do I hear? What do I smell? What do I taste? Hearing the birds in the morning with a cup of tea. Nothing else, no multitasking, just that. And then the middle of the day, you know, where I'm, again, it's just I'm interrupting, but I will have a glass of water there. And at the end of the day, I might journal or put my legs up the wall, but they're all little practices that could actually only be 5 to 10 minutes each. So in the scheme of things, we're looking at probably not even half an hour in the whole day.
And if you can't find that for yourself, then there needs to be a real restructure, doesn't there?
There does. And I think we have to come to that because it's a common thing I see again and again. And I see it a lot because I do work in health retreats and I see a lot of people that are in corporate positions and very busy lives. And they are so worn out and they will often are looking for that hack or they're looking for the quick fix. And I say to them, like, there isn't really that. I can calm your nervous system now. But if you want that to continue, then we have to make these little tiny places, you know, to signal safety instead of, you know, feeling tense and stressed. You know, that will cause those tiny little micro moments, if you do them every day, will start to communicate safety instead of stress.
How did you find yourself in this place, Tracy? What brought you to studying the vagus nerve system?
Well, I started studying nervous system work probably about 22 years ago. So I have got a personal history of I was in a domestic violent relationship and that was pretty full on that I got away from. And I wanted to, my nervous system was hypervigilant. I had that threat detector looking all the time for potential threats. And I had a daughter and to protect her too. So I kind of got through that and I found that doing normal yoga, certain practices just were constantly still keeping me wired. They would soothe it initially, but I couldn't maintain it. So I found restorative therapeutics. I studied more about that. I studied sort of how the vagus nerve worked and how I could shift that and change that neural pathway. And then, of course, I've had a couple of other life-threatening things happen to my children, and that threw me even deeper into that. And I was forced to get over that and deal with what was coming at me because I had a lot of implicit memory, which is the memory that you don't remember but your body does. So you get waves of sensations. And I knew that I could put my legs up the wall, I could do this beautiful restorative practice and I would feel calm, but it wouldn't last because the implicit memory might get triggered just from the moment I'd walk out the door. So I knew I had to I needed something different. And then again, working with people, I saw the same thing. And so what's shifted for me and implicit memories coming up, still come up today, was this work, you know, of working with the tones regularly, every day, giving my nervous system that medicine of regulation and noticing when I'm feeling dysregulated and then allowing myself to come back, not necessarily to full regulation, but just to reduce that, because every time I close my eyes or I connect with what I'm feeling instead of moving away from it, we often will numb out, push away. We don't like unpleasant sensations. I will invite them in. And so I'll use self-compassion. So there's a combination and different techniques of rubbing the nerve, connecting with it at different points. I will use all of those, but also how I meet my experience is really important.
I think even the concept of having this book on your bedside and that every day you turn a page and there's a new gift there from you, I think that is a great place to start, isn't it? Because you are taking a moment. Mm. You're also learning something about yourself and you can then immediately tune in to yourself and give you what you need right then and there. How difficult was it to actually put this into words, into a 365 guide?
It did take me. I started 8 years ago, and because of all of the, you know, being a mom and all of those things, and post-COVID I noticed it changed. So I did sort of park part of the book and I went more into this. And because part of my, I guess, something I've had all my life, which is that intuitive ability to read the vagus nerve, I was reading all the messages from the book, from the bodies, and seeing that regularly, that I started just putting that into the book. And so I was listening to what dark actually meant. How could we show up in different ways, bringing dark into the nervous system, how to slow down the nervous system, warmth in different ways, not just heat, but warmth from kind words, how we talk to ourselves, which comes under the pillar of self-compassion. And it was bringing all of those parts sort of together and listening carefully through many bodies as well. It doesn't really feel like it was all just my work. It was listening to the, you know, a greater intelligence, and that was from many bodies and from above as well, that actually created this book.
I'm so thrilled that we have found you. I'm sure you would even notice a difference from when I started our conversation to how I'm sitting with you now. You have this beautiful presence and this amazing calm that you are able, steadiness, as we've learned, that you're able to pass on. And we're just so delighted to have you as a part of our Aging Project community. I know that our listeners are going to be feeling like they're ready to make some change now, because again, we often introduce some ideas that are quite overwhelming, or if it's their first sort of dipping their toe into self-care, a lot of ideas can be very big and very overwhelming. And that's why we're so delighted that you are going to join us in our community, in our 120 club, which is how long I intend to live. And you can only do that with a calm nervous system, right? So what a great place to start than with a two-hour calm body workshop that you'll be taking for us. This is really exciting.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. And it just warms my heart so much to be able to help as many women as possible, because I've not only, you know, done this in my work, but I've lived through a lot of suffering myself with my family, and now I feel like I can be of benefit to others and pass this on, and seeing it again and again have that ripple effect and changing, you know, even if it's just reducing someone's suffering, means the world to me. So yeah, I'm very happy to come into your community, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, we do. We lean on each other a lot here, and I think the sharing of stories and knowing that we're not alone is a big part of what we do at the Aging Project. And things that you think were just exclusive to you, you suddenly find out, oh no, pretty much everyone out there is feeling the same thing. So is this the sort of work that you can do in a community environment, or if people wanted to take it a step further, finding a practitioner like yourself and doing one-on-one work?
Yeah, most definitely. Because I can't do as much one-on-one, I do still have one-on-one work, but it's usually about a six-week wait list now. So I try to do that and continue to do that as much as I can. But going into the communities that I've been invited into works really well, because I can connect with more women and make sure that no one's missing out, right? And because we have a bit of an epidemic with perimenopause, postmenopause, and a lot of women that are actually caring for other people as well. In the community, I'll be able to share these skills and tools and do practices with them to support them, and they will instantly feel that calm come in, and then that's a good indicator that their vagus nerve has responded. And, you know, gurgling, sometimes feeling calm, feeling tears come up. That's all the vagus nerve response. And then we just know that, okay, I'm on the right path, and I just need to continue that so that I can just keep emptying that cup and filling it up with more parasympathetic nervous system, calm, still.
Oh, I love this. And for those of you that are already members of the 120 Club, of course, you get to join Tracy's workshop this month. That is part of being a member with us. And you can replay it anytime you like. For those of you who would love to join us in the 120 Club, you can try us out for a month or you can jump on board for the year. All you have to do is visit theagingproject.com. Tracy, one last message. If you could whisper into the ear of every woman listening, what would you say?
Oh, I really thought about this and I felt that the biggest message that comes through with the clients I see is I want to let women know that your body is not betraying you. It's trying to bring you home. You don't have to earn your rest. You don't have to apologize for needing slowness. Your system deserves softness. Because I feel as women, we beat ourselves up a little bit and we feel like we have to earn, you know, this rest or we have to earn your approval. And that very energy is what kind of can lead us into burnout. So, yeah, I just want women to know that your body's not betraying you. And it's just trying to bring you home. So listen to those messages.
Tracy, you mentioned that you sometimes lie down with your legs up the wall and you say it like that's something we all should just know to do. What does it do and when should we be doing that?
It's a beautiful posture called Viparita Karani, a very ancient old yogi posture. Lay terms, legs up the wall. So it actually helps to regulate blood pressure. It regulates the energy in the body. It actually triggers your parasympathetic nervous system. So it's simply by putting your, you can put your legs up the wall. You can put your legs over a chair. I see people send me photos of them in the airport with their legs over a chair. Like it, you literally can do it anywhere.
So it's about having your legs above your heart.
That's
or
right.
something.
Yeah, so it relaxes your heart. It reduces a lot of heart conditions. Obviously, people need to work with a therapist before they go off medication, but I have had a lot of my clients go off medication because they've done legs up the wall in a medical setting several times a day. It changes your neural pathway. So, again, that's that actual posture is – dark and quiet and still and slow and soft, and we bring warmth to the body. It's a beautiful, simple posture that I recommend. I've been doing it for over probably 30 years, that posture.
Is this a daytime or a nighttime practice or anytime practice?
Anytime practice, but I normally will say to people, if you're feeling really an elevated energy, so you're feeling hypervigilant, go for, if you can't walk, shake it out for a little bit, for a couple of minutes, or walk for 5 minutes, then come put your legs up the wall and then integrate. Allow your body to have that posture to integrate the blood flow to trigger from SNS into PSNS, and literally spending 2 to 5 minutes with your legs up, then you roll out to the right side and you come back up and you will feel refreshed.
Oh, okay. This is great. All right. If you can't get down to the floor, is this something that you could do in bed if you're just elevating your legs, or is it a pillow under your knees? How do you have to actually get your legs?
You need to have your, like, you could have, like, you sort of, you know, if your legs can't be straight, to be like this. So sort of like bending at the knees. So they could be on a couple of pillows. I often do it every day. I do it at nighttime. So I will just do it against my bed head. And then, so you don't, we find many ways with all different positions. Like for women, they might be able to get onto the floor and just put their legs over a chair. Otherwise, if they're on a bed, they can build it up with some pillows.
And then roll out to the right. What is rolling out to the right?
So that triggers the parasympathetic nervous system as well. So right side sends more air or oxygen through your left nostril, which triggers your right hemisphere of the brain, and that triggers your parasympathetic nervous system. So we always roll out to the right side in restorative therapeutics so that we can continually to saturate and nourish that parasympathetic nervous system. So there's many.
Oh, my gosh, that's fascinating. Okay, so you don't need to know all that. No. As long as you know, you need to roll to the right and you're doing all sorts of wonderful things.
That's right, and that's just one posture. There's, I think we've found about 200, I think it's 272 different variations I've got in my training.
So if you can't get down on the ground but you have, a work stress and there's no opportunity to lie down, we can just press on the inner valley of our ears.
Yeah, so it's sort of like there's a little – you'll feel like this little valley at the top of the ear. So there's like I don't know how to so we're at the top of the ear here. Mm-hmm. If we just drop down into the valley, that's how I
like. Where you'd get a piercing if you're really brave.
You're really brave.
Yeah, in there.
And there you can push initially and then massage for 30 to 90 seconds. And we close over the eyes to again engage that darkness. See, it's hard to even for me to speak because it feels calming. It naturally will trigger a breath sometimes, a deep breath.
So where is the vagus nerve? It's obviously a physical nerve that runs through our body somewhere.
So the nerve runs from the base of the brainstem, which we can't really see because it's inside. But it's, you know, like we've got the occiput area and it's in, if you imagine going in probably about an inch inwards is like a brainstem there, maybe not an inch. Then there's a left and a right. And there's a whole heap of cranial nerves through there. So I often will do what I call pouring on someone where I'm stretching that fascia through here. And that can work as well. And that travels down the neck, down the chest, and then it'll come together. So the left and right come together into the solar plexus and then down into your gut. So when it comes into the gut, if you want a visual, I like to see it as an upside down tree. So when it comes into the gut, it's like all the leaves and the branches all in the stomach area, and it governs a lot of those organs like digestion, and, you know, your liver and spleen and all of the organs. But then the trunk of the tree is through the middle. And then it splits and the root system engages into the base of the brainstem. And that sends all the messages into the brain.
How incredible. So it is really about that brain-gut access and again, back to that primitive idea of trusting your gut because your vagus nerve is telling you the truth.
It comes back to listening, like connection and listening. Like if we can do all these practices, but honestly, if you can just stop and listen, like first off, we have to stop and then we just listen. And then as we listen, the vagus nerve's talking and it'll share all these different things of like, wow, I'm feeling all this buzzing in my body or my mind's racing really fast. Okay, so it's showing that. What's the opposite to that? Fast, slow, you know, movement, still. So we give it the opposite. And that's where the healing happens, in the opposite. Slowing down, connecting. It's all about connection. Vagus nerve needs connection. And if we're not, and we're disconnected, we're not activating our vagus nerve, we're just in fight or flight, freeze or fawn.
Oh, Tracy, we love you. Thank you so much. And I know you're all going to want to connect with Tracy, so please write these down. And of course, the connections are there in our show notes. www.stmt, that's S for Sam, T for Tom, M for Mary, T for Tom, .com.au, or jump on Tracy's Instagram, which is stillness_through_movement. Stillness through movement, and that's where you'll find Tracy and all her beautiful work. And her amazing book is available now, 8 years in the making. And I think for all you beautiful girlfriends out there, you know what you are receiving next time I'm gifting 365 days nervous system care. 365 days of nervous system care. Or, of course, jump on board with us here at the 120 Club and you'll be able to join one of Tracy's amazing workshops. Tracy, I am at peace now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am calm. I've had some deep breaths and I'm ready to head out that door and face whatever is coming my way with a completely different perspective this afternoon. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it.
As always, the Aging Project podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes. Always seek medical advice from a qualified practitioner.